I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Canon, dear faithful. The coming of the eternal Son of God in our nature is the holiest of mysteries and is designed for the sanctification and the salvation of men. And therefore, a preparation of soul by the moral and spiritual dispositions of faith, repentance, and love was necessary for the Hebrews if they were worthily to receive so holy a Messiah and a King. They were to cleanse their consciences from the dead works of sin to serve the living God, for the kingdom of God was come upon them. One of the chief public signs of the eventual advent of the Messiah foretold by the prophets was the appearance in Judea of his immediate forerunner and herald, John the Baptist, who was to prepare the people for his reception. Thus saith the Lord by the mouth of Isaiah the prophet, Be comforted, my people, for your evil has come to an end. The voice of one crying in the desert, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight the paths of our God, and the glory of the Lord shall appear. And I will pour out upon you clean water, saith the Lord, and you shall be washed from all your iniquities. And now seek ye the face of your God, for your eyes shall see him, and you shall say, The Lord is magnified in the borders of Israel. John the Baptist came, preaching faith in Jesus and administering the baptism of penance, and the entire nation went out to hear him. He asserted the presence of the incarnate Son of God among them and directly pointed him out in the person of Jesus. There is one in the midst of you, he says, whom you know not, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose. And that he may be made manifest in Israel, I am coming, baptizing with water unto penance. And I give testimony that this is the Son of God. He is the bridegroom that hath the bride, but the friend of the bridegroom standing by rejoiceth to hear his voice and see him increase. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled, for he is the beloved Son whom the Father hath sent from above, and he speaketh the words of God. He that believeth in him hath life everlasting, but he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Then seeing Jesus passing near, John cried out, Behold the Lamb of God! Behold him who taketh away the sin of the world. The unbelieving Pharisees, backed by the Sanhedrin, came to question John concerning his character and his mission, as we heard in today's gospel. And to them he said, Ye offspring of vipers, think not that without faith and penance you shall escape the wrath to come. For the axe is even now laid to the root of the tree. The flail and the fan are in the hands of Christ, and he will thoroughly cleanse his floor, and will gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. At the preaching of John, the people in great part repented, and confessed their sins and received his baptism as a pledge of their willingness to receive the Messiah. But as we see, oftentimes the human condition is very fickle. Where once they praised their Messiah and welcomed him, later they would reject him along with his apostles who preached in his name and worked miracles as proof of their divine mission. But despite that rejection, Jesus truly reigns in minds and hearts through grace and exerts through his church a constant and universal mission of enlightenment and regeneration through grace. The perpetuity of his church, one holy Catholic and apostolic, through the storms and the tumults of 20 centuries, from the attacks of her enemies without and the failings of her own members within, is the standing miracle which proclaims Christ's divinity and challenges the conscience of mankind and the duty of allegiance to him. And this also the prophets were given to foresee and predict. The word of the Lord by the mouth of Isaiah the prophet concerning his Holy One who is to come. It is a small thing that you shouldst be my servant only to raise up the tribes of Jacob. Behold, I have given thee to be the light of all nations, that thou mayest be my salvation even to the utmost bounds of the earth. For the strength of the Gentiles shall come to thee, and they shall be thine inheritance, saith the Lord God of hosts. To them that believe in his name, the God-man has given the power to make them the sons and heirs of God. And his design is to apply to each of his followers the divine fruits of his atonement by effecting their spiritual birth, his spiritual birth in their souls. And so our celebration of the approaching anniversary of his advent into the world must be more than a historical reminiscence or an outward commemoration. It must be instead the renovation of our souls through the cleansing and sanctifying grace of Christ's sacraments. Union with Christ, actual and personal, in spirit and in power, is the ultimate purpose of the divine incarnation. Otherwise, for us, this adorable mystery is of no avail. Let us, therefore, with a lively faith and with contrite and grateful hearts, prepare for the worthy reception of our merciful Savior, who comes to us in a way far more intimate than that of his advent of old, because there he came in the flesh, which, of course, is a great marvel, but he didn't have that full union with us each individually until his passion and death, and then the communication of the graces he won for us upon the cross to our souls, thus rejuvenating them, renovating them, making them no longer in enmities with God, but instead to be now friends and in that companionship of God. And so it is truly a greater marvel than his just physically coming into this world. And so let us prepare well by that repentance, by that correspondence to divine grace. For now he brings with him to our souls inward peace and joy, and also the divine pledge of eternal salvation. As we have celebrated recently the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, let us turn to our Blessed Mother, who corresponded well with those graces given to her, who had that marvelous privilege of being prevented from having contracted the original stain, and therefore she was never at enmities with God. Let us implore her intercession that we follow her example in correspondence to grace, and that instead of allowing ourselves to be at enmities with God through sin, that we always remain his faithful companions by grace, and that to culminate in the ages to come in heaven, that we might see him face to face, he who we commemorate, that we rejoice with his grace now here on earth. Amen. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.